like I said, I started off in sixth grade and went to band camp at Henderson State University. I never forget this, and I tell you this story because it's a story that something that I've always remembered. You know, I was in the sixth grade getting ready to go to seventh grade that summer. So I go to band camp for the very first time. Never been away from home, from my parents. Never spent the night away, you know, from home for a week. You know, I spent the night at my grandmother's house, but never spent the night away from home for a week.
Right.
So it was at Henderson State, and there with all these other kids from all over Arkansas and parts of Texas. And you have to try out, you know, mm-hmm. they will assign you to a band and you have to try out, and you're hearing all these great musicians play. And, you know, I didn't sound very well. I didn't, you know, I practiced as best as I could, you know. So, So I remember going into that audition room and being nervous as all get out, you know, because everything is new to me.
Right.
But I'm excited about it. But I just remember being nervous as all get out. And the judge that was sitting in the room that's heard probably 200 to 300 trumpets up until this point.
Right.
So he looks at my audition card and he says, Rodney Block. He says, you're going to play the trumpet. And I said, yes, sir. He says, you know what? You look like a trumpet player. And so I proceed in my audition. I sucked, you know, out of 10 bands, I think I was maybe eighth band, third chair, band, fourth chair. But what I remember from that experience, he says, you look like mm-hmm. a trumpet player. And I'm 46 years old now, and I can still remember mm-hmm. sitting in that audition room and remember this gentleman. He was an older gentleman, African-American band director. I don't know who he was. I can't remember his name, but I just remember that stuck with me. So right. I've always wanted, from that point, I was going to be a trumpet player, whether I was really good or if I was really bad.
Well, it sounds like I wanted
to be a trumpet player.
It sounds like that was the day you were cast to be a trumpet player, and it sounds like maybe it was meant to be that way from the beginning, because you didn't even pick your own instrument.
It was picked for me. And
people are immediately like, hey, you look like a trumpet player.
Yeah, you look like a trumpet player. So so the things that you remember, the things that kind of mold you.
Sure.
And that's kind of a neat story. And it's kind of a testament that young people always can remember certain points or things that are significant or things that have an impact.
Right.
And that was something that had an impact and has stuck with me through this entire time. So if I had to go back and change it, I wouldn't change it at all. So,
well, you do look quite natural with the horn now. So
you've
had a few decades
to get accustomed to it.
But yeah. I think they were right from back then. Going back to that time period, was your band director very influential, or did you have any sort of mentors maybe outside of band at that point through junior high and high school, or was it mostly your band director?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I did have a mentor, and the directors that I had were very good. I want to talk about my mentor mm-hmm. first. Her name is the late LaWanna Hunt Walker. Mm-hmm. And LaWanna was the minister of music at this small Pentecostal church mm-hmm. That I attended and my family attended. LaWanna's father was the pastor of the church. And she was really good about embracing the young people that were involved in music. Before we could read music really mm-hmm. well or improvise or whatnot, LaWanna would take little index cards and she would write the notes and she would write everybody's part, and then she would teach you the rhythm. Here are your notes. This is rhythm, and this is where you come in. So we, in Dumas, Arkansas, at West Dumas Church of God in Christ, we had a church band that was really good.
Wow.
And I was in the band. My younger brother played trombone in the band. A relative, Marquis Hunt, played saxophone, which was LaWanna's brother.
Wow.
Travis Taylor on trombone. So we had this really cool core of young people, and we played in the band. But LaWanna was you know, I didn't know it at the time, but my ear was being developed because mm-hmm. we could hear stuff and pick out the notes. And if we had trouble, she would say, well, this is the key that it's in.
Right.
You know, you want to play notes that fit that key. So she was really good about nurturing musical talent right where we are, not only as far as instrumentalists, mm-hmm. but there were a number of vocalists. There were a number of piano players from that region that she influenced. And she passed away. I want to say it's been about 6 years ago.
Wow.
But she was very influential. She would load us up in her car and take us to church and choir conventions
wow.
to play our instruments or to just be there and listen to
right.
a lot of these other great gospel music artists. So it was a she was very influential on me at that time. And then I was fortunate enough to have a junior high band director and a high school band director that kind of encouraged, you know, students to play outside of band.
Oh, that's
awesome. You know, if you're learning it and you can play in church, because I guess, you know, when I think about it, it probably made their job a little easier.
If
they
yeah.
had kids that are constantly practicing and, mm-hmm. and playing their instrument, they're probably going to do pretty well in band because
right.
they're always playing. So LaWanna Hunt Walker was my mentor. Bill Tucker, the late Bill Tucker, was my junior high band director. And James Turnbow, who was a drummer, I think he graduated from Arkansas Tech. And he was, those two band directors were very good, kind of no-nonsense guys. But if you played outside of school, it was okay. In my senior year in high school, Chris Tate mm-hmm. Was my band director for that 1 year, and he kind of brought a new energy and excitement in being in band. And he still teaches music today in Forest City, Arkansas. But
oh, wow.
I think he just had a birthday yesterday.
Oh,
but
wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Happy birthday, yeah.
You know, so Chris Tate was my third band director in high school. So, so again, I was kind of very fortunate that that. You know, the setting was really, it was really positive setting.
This is KABF in Little Rock, 88.3, the voice of the people in Central Arkansas.
Arkansas Sounds presents the public premiere of AETN's documentary, Dreamland, Little Rock's West 9th Street, at Cal's Ron Robinson Theater on Friday, March 31st at 7 p.m. The film explores the culture of Little Rock's 9th Street corridor, the music of the Dreamland Ballroom, and African American history in Arkansas. Experience the sights and sounds of this once vibrant business and entertainment district and learn what led to its decline. The screening is free and open to the public. For more information, visit butlercenter.org or call 320-5728.
I think that's the thing that people take away from you is that you're being true to yourself, and they feel that. They mm-hmm. sense that. That's mm-hmm. that's the palatable energy, because you're up there happy, working, mm-hmm. and pushing the envelope mm-hmm. all at the same time. And so many people, when they're up there playing, sometimes they're just going through the motions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when they are pushing the envelope, mm-hmm. they're pushing their own envelope. Mm-hmm. They're not pushing the collective
right.
room
right.
and
right.
everybody's envelope yeah. at the same time.
Right.
They're
right.
just, hey, man, I'm up here, and I'm just chunking out some chords mm-hmm. till I get my wah-wah solo in about
yeah.
three, four, you know,
yeah.
measures.
Yeah.
Here. That's
yeah.
all they're
yeah.
looking for.
Yeah.
You know? And then
yeah.
other people are like, no, man, we can't do that. It has to be about the song,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
mm-hmm.
that's where you guys are coming from. You
yeah.
guys are coming from the
yeah.
the feeling that the audience has,
yeah.
and I
yeah.
think that's
yeah.
I think that's something that
yeah.
people take away
yeah.
from your shows
you
and
know,
your music.
You know, and I would say, you know, if to anyone that's listening, I think, well, for me, in my experience, that has worked. You know,
mm-hmm.
my phone rings, you know?
Right, right. People you know? Respond to that.
People, you know, my people respond to it, and it's and I've never been, quote unquote, believed in starving musician. That's never been yeah. me. I've never, but you know, but I think being true to yourself and sometimes taking a path that not everyone is in agreement mm-hmm. with, you know, and I try to be open and I listen and sometimes you know, people are not in agreement, but sometimes if I feel really convicted, I have to go with that. Mm-hmm. But you know, but it's always worked the way it's supposed to work, and it's nice to see that, hey, I'm going down this path that I'm taking, you know, things are working because I'm being true to myself. So mm-hmm. so as far as a person, if you're looking at it from the perspective where are you getting gigs and do you work and is it you know, is it profitable, you know, I think by being true to yourself, you know, the answer would be yes, you know, because you're kind of staying true to yourself, mm-hmm. you know, and again, people remember that feeling. You know what, he played for my daughter's wedding and it was great. I have my best friend's son is getting married. Would you guys do right. for them what you did for us?
Right.
And that's how it kind of works, because you're being true to yourself.
And it's an honor. People are asking yeah. you to be there as yeah. part of one of the most important, you know, ceremonies, yeah. if you
will. Doesn't that make you nervous?
It does in a way. Man, I can't tell you how many weddings I've played, but I look at that as...
To me, that's the hardest gig.
An invitation gig. For people to bring you in. You're yeah. a temporary member of their family.
You are, you know.
You really are.
You are, you know, and you know, because you do weddings, but you know, weddings are... I consider those the hardest gigs to do. Number one, because it's someone's special day.
Right. You don't want to mess
up. And you don't want to mess up someone's special day.
Right.
And then the other thing is they're going to remember.
Right, right.
They're going to remember the music.
That's exactly
they're
right.
They're going to remember, and you want that to be good. So weddings, you know, you always kind of tend to put a little bit more care listening to the bride. Because mm-hmm. the main thing is you want that bride to be happy. I said,
right.
you know, are you happy? I want you to be happy.
Right.
And we'll do whatever. And, you know, it's interesting. This was recent. I remember they wanted me to, a particular wedding party wanted me to play a song. And you know, some songs, if you do them instrumentally or live, sometimes they don't translate as
right.
well compared to the recorded version. Mm-hmm. They just don't translate as well. So this is one of those songs. Mm-hmm. So I remember calling the bride and I said, you know what, we got this song on the list, blah, blah, blah. And I said, do you want us to play this live? I said, it's not really translating. She says, we really want that one live, Rodney. I said, okay, don't worry about it. I said, okay, we'll play it live. Mm-hmm. I think that was my response. It was more of a positive confirming that, okay, this is what we'll
right.
do. And I remember stressing out. I said, you know, and I made some changes. I said, because she told me she wanted this song live,
right.
that I knew it was important to her. So I think I enlisted a vocalist to come in. I said, mm-hmm. I need you to learn this like this. We
right.
need this to sound like this.
Right.
And we did it, and they were totally happy. But it goes back to it's someone else's day.
Right.
And you're right. You're part of... Mm-hmm. their family, at least for that
that's right.
3 or 4 hours that you're there, you know.
That's right.
And
they're going to remember
you. They're going to remember
as part of the family.
Yeah.
Whether you did good or bad.
Yes,
they're
yes.
going to remember you as, oh, well, cousin yeah. Rodney or John messed that up,
yeah.
or cousin Rodney or John yeah. did great, you know.
They're going to remember, but you know, it all kind of lends itself to this whole experience that we're having. You know, the weddings, the festivals, the recordings, you know, the young people that you meet, that you have a chance to influence and,
mm-hmm.
and that's really important to me, because I remember when I was 12, who spoke, you know, an encouraging
right.
word, who spoke positive things, I was over at 7th Street Elementary a couple of weeks ago, and I had a chance to talk to them, and we had so much fun. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the other thing. I said, playing music is fun.
It is.
I said, you have to practice. You got to learn. You have to say please and thank you, you know, as mm-hmm. a part of your everyday life. Work hard, you know. Do your homework, learn mm-hmm. the things you're supposed to learn, and always say please and thank you. I said, please and thank you will get you a long, long
yes,
way.
It will.
I said,
yes,
please and thank you would take you a long way. And then overall, have fun. And young people remember that because, I mean, they really are the ones that are going to be taking care of us. They are the future.
Right.
And you don't know who that next phenomenon is going to be, or you don't know who's going to be the person that's kind of setting the tone as far as you know, music or medicine or athletics or mm-hmm. or policy. You
right.
know, those young minds, and they're impressionable and they remember, and I definitely want to kind of do my part as it relates to this kind of musical mm-hmm. landscape that we have here in Arkansas and in Little Rock. Just being a positive one and one that people can kind of touch. Mm-hmm. It's tangible. Oh, that's Rodney. Oh,
yeah.
You know what? He came and hung out. You know, I'm just really open. I don't really take myself seriously. So, you know, I'm not one like, oh, I'm staying backstage on the break, or, you know, I'm hanging out in my green room. Yeah, I'm out. I'm shaking hands. I'm
right.
talking to people. Oh, hey, let's get a drink. You know, that's
right.
that's me, because this is music is a familial mm-hmm. thing. You know,
right.
it's a shared thing. It's an exchange, and I'm one of you. I'm a country boy. You know,
right.
from the Delta. And I said, hey, let's hang out. You know, oh, let's listen to music. And I really enjoy being able to go out and listen to other bands or mm-hmm. listen to other musicians. And then when I see other musicians out, I think the MVP Quartet, Jazz Quartet was in town the other week. And it's great because, you know, you have the John Bushes, who's tenor mm-hmm. saxophone player. You had Dale Smith, the Chris Parkers, the Uncle Walt was mm-hmm. out. You have these different people out that have really kind of been the statesman and
right.
and the foundation for music in Little Rock for years. And I told you a long time ago in our conversation, you know, when I first got here, meeting Ivan and mm-hmm. Carl, and you know what, and the relationship I have with those two guys have been one of really positive, because again, you know, you come here, they don't know you,
right.
and you really don't know them, but they say, hey, we're playing music, you know.
Right.
We're in this together, and we've been able to work on numerous projects over the years, so and playing together. So it's a fun thing and I'm just excited to kind of share my experience.
Well, I thank you for being here on Primary Sources with us today. And
did I talk too much?
No, you didn't. You know, we could keep talking for another hour. I would also want to thank you, because I have seen you over the last probably 10, 15 years sort of really bloom into mm-hmm. your own. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've released several CDs.
Mm-hmm.
Your shows are getting bigger and mm-hmm. better and mm-hmm. more attended as you progress, and so many people kind of hit a plateau,
mm-hmm.
it seems like you're just still going
yeah,
up. You're
yeah,
trying to
yeah.
to reach for the stars,
mm-hmm.
and it's so refreshing to see somebody who is really positive about mm-hmm. not just themselves, but about where they're at in their career
mm-hmm.
and where they're at in their place in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of positivity is also the thing that you mentioned about with Ivan Yarborough and Carl mm-hmm. Mouton and some of those
mm-hmm.
guys that
mm-hmm.
maybe mentored you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a really big treat for me, and I know a lot of other people
mm-hmm.
in the music
yeah.
area of Arkansas and Central Arkansas
mm-hmm.
to see you come from sort of this new guy to
mm-hmm.
sort of being
yeah.
one of these statesmen
yeah.
that you
yeah.
spoke of.
Yeah.
Because Now there are younger people out there that are looking at you mm-hmm. as the statesman,
yeah.
and they're looking at, you know, the people that influenced you, but they're also looking at you and how you influenced yeah. them. So yeah. it's been a great joy to see you become one of those elder statesmen and see you really bloom into your own. And I'm so happy that yeah. you're with us today.
Yeah,
so thank you very much, Ronnie.
Thank you so much. It's been a joy. Thank you.
Thanks.
This has been a portion of an interview with jazz artist Rodney Block on Primary Sources. To hear this and other Primary Sources interviews in their entirety, log on to cals.org/podcasts.
Radio Cals is a production of the Central Arkansas Library System and its Arkansas History Department, the Butler Center for Arkansas Studies. For more information, please visit cals.org and butlercenter.org. Our producer is Glenn Whaley, and our production manager is Brett Ratliff. Voices by Jasmine Job and John Miller. Engineering and editing by Brett Ratliff, Michael Stotts, and Anna Lancaster. Our executive producers are Leanne Blackwell Hoskin and David Strickland. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next Wednesday at 6 p.m. here on KABF 88.3 Little Rock.
This song live right. that I knew it was important to us, so I think I enlisted a vocalist to come in. I said, mm-hmm. I need you to learn this like this. We
right.
need this to sound like this.
Right.
And we did it, and they were totally happy. But it goes back to it's someone else's day.
Right.
And you're right. You're part of mm-hmm. their family, at least for that.
That's right.
3 or 4 hours that you're there, you know.
That's right.
And
they're going to remember you.
And they're going to remember
as
you.
Part of the family.
Yeah.
Whether you did good or bad.
Yes.
They're going to remember
yeah.
you as, oh, well, cousin yeah. Rodney or John messed that up,
yeah.
or cousin Rodney or John yeah. did great. You know, that's
they're gonna
exactly right.
They're going to remember. But you know, it all kind of lends itself to this whole experience that we're having. The weddings, the festivals, the recordings, you know, the young people that you meet, that you have a chance to influence. And
mm-hmm.
and that's really important to me, because I remember when I was 12, who spoke, you know, an encouraging
right.
word, who spoke positive things. I was over at 7th Street Elementary a couple of weeks ago, and I had a chance to talk to them, and we had so much fun, you know. And that's the other thing. I said, playing music is fun.
It is.
I said, you have to practice. You got to learn. You have to say please and thank you, you know, as mm-hmm. a part of your everyday life. Work hard, you know. Do your homework, learn mm-hmm. the things you're supposed to learn, and always say please and thank you. I said, please and thank you would get you a long, long
yes,
way.
It will.
I said,
yes,
please
it will.
And thank you would take you a long way. And then overall, have fun. And young people remember that, because, I mean, they really are the ones that are going to be taking care of us. They are the future.
Right.
And you don't know who that next phenomenon is going to be, or you don't know who's going to be the person that's kind of setting the tone as far as you know, music or medicine or athletics or
mm-hmm.
or policy, you
right.
know, those young minds, and they're impressionable and they remember, and I definitely want to kind of do my part as it relates to this kind of musical
mm-hmm.
landscape that we have here in Arkansas and in Little Rock. Just being a positive one and one that people can kind of touch. It's
mm-hmm.
tangible. Oh, that's Rodney. Oh,
yeah.
You know what? He came and hung out. You know, I'm just really open. I don't really take myself seriously. So, you know, I'm not one like, oh, I'm staying backstage on the break, or, you know, I'm hanging out in my green room. Yeah, I'm I'm out. I'm shaking hands. I'm talking to people. Oh, hey, let's get a drink. You know, that's me, because this is music is a familial thing. You know, it's a shared thing. It's an exchange, and I'm one of you. I'm a country boy. You know, from the Delta. And I said, hey, let's hang out. You know, oh, let's listen to music. And I really enjoy being able to go out and listen to other bands or listen to other musicians. And then when I see other musicians out, I think the MVP quartet, jazz quartet was in town the other week. And it's great because, you know, you have the John Bushes, who's tenor saxophone player. You had Dale Smith, the Chris Parkers, the Uncle Walt was out. You have these different people out that have really kind of been the statesman and the foundation for music in Little Rock for years. And I told you a long time ago in our conversation, you know, when I first got here, meeting Ivan and Carl, and you know what, and the relationship I have with those two guys have been one really positive, because again, you know, you come here, they don't know you, and you really don't know them, but they say, hey, we're playing music, you know. We're in this together, and we've been able to work on numerous projects over the years. So and playing together, so it's a fun thing, and I'm just excited to kind of share my experience.
Well, I thank you for being here on Primary Sources with us today.
And did I talk too much?
No, you didn't. We could keep talking for another hour. I would also want to thank you, because I have seen you over the last probably 10, 15 years sort of really bloom into your own. And you know, you've released several CDs. Your shows are getting bigger and better and more attended as you progress, and so many people kind of hit a plateau. It seems like you're just still going up. You're trying to reach for the stars, and it's so refreshing to see somebody who is really positive about not just themselves, but about where they're at in their career and where they're at in their place in the world. And that kind of positivity is also the thing that you mentioned about with Ivan Yarborough and Carl Mouton and some of those guys that maybe mentored you a little bit. It's been a really a big treat for me, and I know a lot of other people in the music area of Arkansas and Central Arkansas, to see you come from sort of this new guy to sort of being one of these statesmen that you spoke of. Because now there are younger people out there that are looking at you as the statesman, and they're looking at, you know, the people that influenced you, but they're also looking at you and how you influence them. So it's been a great joy to see you become one of those elder statesmen and see you really bloom into your own. And I'm so happy that you're with us today. Yeah, so thank you very much, Ronnie.
Thank you so much. It's been a joy. Thank you.
Thanks.
This has been a portion of an interview with jazz artist Rodney Block on Primary Sources. To hear this and other Primary Sources interviews in their entirety, log on to cals.org/podcasts.
Radio Cals is a production of the Central Arkansas Library System and its Arkansas History Department, the Butler Center for Arkansas Studies. For more information, please visit cals.org and butlercenter.org. Our producer is Glenn Whaley, and our production manager is Brett Ratliff. Voices by Jasmine Jobe and John Miller. Engineering and editing by Brett Ratliff, Michael Stotts, and Anna Lancaster. Our executive producers are Leanne Blackwell-Hoskin and David Strickland. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next Wednesday at 6 p.m. here on KABF 88.3 Little Rock.